seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Praise Yahweh. This is a praise. Yahweh bless you. Now, last week, I've got a bunch of articles to read, but I can't cover them. There's a lot of great stuff taking place, just like Yahweh said there would be. Stuff that proves the nuclear baby is growing for sure. And I can hardly wait to bring you that one, but I think it'll probably be the feast before I can bring it. David Yehuda has the great David Yehuda has a lot of things that I want him to bring during the feast concerning these lessons right here that I'm bringing now. And I don't know if you realize how important it is, but if you would really pay attention to what I bring here, and you see how Yahweh has guarded his plan from the beginning and brought the prophecies to pass, which is what I'm trying to show you. Of course, he says it over and over again. But if you see how he's guarding that plan, then you'll know he's guarding his house now. And there's no surprises going on. He allows things to take place for a reason. He says for our benefit. He allowed Israel to be taken totally out of the land of Israel for their benefit. He allowed the temple and Jerusalem to be destroyed for the benefit of Yada, the tribe of Yada. He allowed several things with the kings to take place and shows why he allowed those things to take place, but in order to benefit his people and to strengthen them and to let them know that there was no way to get into the kingdom. You can come up with all kinds of falses, you know, because Satan is full of them. But there's only one way into that kingdom. And if you just think about it, consider it. I'll bring it out in detail. I want to during the feast. But Yahweh plainly tells you, if you want salvation, you're going to have to go to the house that he chooses to place his name out of one of the tribes. Now, if you leave any of that out, then you could go down here to Romney, Texas, or Dallas, Texas, or wherever they want to use the name Yahweh and think you were doing, you know, finding salvation when all you're finding is a little bit of truth mixed with a whole lot of falsehood. And it will get you off. You'll be deceived. And of course, Yahweh even tells you to stay away from those places. Don't go near them. He says, if somebody wants salvation, let them come to his house and where he chooses to place his name among one of the tribes. So it's got to be in that. And then he says, if it's not prophesied, it's not his to begin with. He has nothing to do with it. Now, the land of Israel, there was priests everywhere. He said, I haven't sent them. He didn't send the ones that was preaching in Jerusalem. He never, the only thing he chose Jerusalem for was for the prophesied Savior that was to come and be killed there, be murdered there. And of course, the prophets, he sent the prophets to warn them that they didn't have salvation. Salvation was not even near that place. But he had a work that he kept going. And of course, that work was at Abel. And this is the thing that he kept bringing out all the time, you know, and the work was at Abel. His only work was at Abel. And of course, he allowed this other to take place among stiff-necked and rebellious people, he said. And that's what he called them. And he said, but he let it take place. Then he brought his Savior down to them to warn them. To warn them. Every one of the prophets was sent to warn them. No, you don't have salvation. But they were sent to warn them, and then Yahweh just took them out, period. Shut the place down, destroyed Jerusalem, let it be destroyed by the fighting tribes. And if you'll look at, if you'll read the scriptures, you'll see the kings. Now, there was many kings in Israel. After about 2400, when the ark settled down, and then the people started multiplying. Noah's family started multiplying, and about somewhere around 200 years later, that area of the earth was pretty well replenished, and of course Yahweh had a work there, and a great work that he had going that started there with Noah, and then Melchizedek, and then Abraham. And if you studied the scriptures, you'll know that if Yahweh had left Abraham's seed in that area right there, they would have been taken in by kinfolks, you know. and of course, kinfolks religions, and come down here and feast with us, you know. We'll let you do what you want to do. We got freedom. We got democracy over here, you know, at Shinar. Or maybe the land of Oz, you know, got the half man and half beast down here teaching, maybe, you know, no telling what you'll find there. But it's a regular carnival all the time, and that's about what it is, but no salvation there. But Yahweh, as you can see, he took his people, he took Abraham's seed after making him the promise. He took his seed and he took them to Egypt. Now, in raising them in Egypt under more or less confinement, and they stuck together, and because the Egyptians were, they had them hard as their slaves, and I told you about that. It's like it is here today, and of course they huddled together, they stayed together, they taught together and prayed together, and they grew together. And Yahweh, in this way, he didn't keep them all. There was many of them left Egypt, and we find records of them clear up into what they call Germany. That's some of them that crossed the mountain and went across the sea and the sea people and so forth. And I hope to bring all that out, but you can read it for yourself. I'm going to write this stuff too, so you won't have any trouble with that in studying it and reading the histories. But anyway, he kept them there 400 years, if you remember. And by the time they came out of there, H.L. Bullinger, who was a mathematician that was, they call a genius, that you know, because of his knowledge of math and how to use it in the scriptures, and he did a lot of great work. His books, I think, are still available. I read one years ago and saw the wonders of this, and you know, of number in scripture. But he showed how the tribes multiplied, of course, how Abraham's family multiplied in Egypt. And when he brought them out, there was something over 3 million people that came out of there, and they had a huge army, a huge army. Now, what was taking place among the kings, of course, in Israel, and the reason they couldn't grow and multiply was that they kept attacking each other. And of course, someone would get a colony going, and they would work and build homes and collect and make things. And here would be another colony over here that had their eye on what they had, lusting after it. And before too long, there would be a war. And of course, one would take over the other. Then that king that was leading the colony that won, he would put the one under that lost the battle, he'd put them under tribute, and he'd start making them pay tribute. And of course, they'd put their military in that nation, and they'd start taking their oil. Oh no, I'm sorry, it wasn't Noah at that time. Slip of the tongue, mere slip of the tongue. They wouldn't do that today. Today we're civilized. But imagine, you know, what's going on today, along with what went on then. But, and you can see this. We have just a little bit of history of it, but archaeology is digging up, you know, now all kinds of history that took place. All of it proves the scripture true, but some of it Yahweh doesn't mention that was taking place. And, but you see these people working, and then they're quiet people and quiet workers, and they're just growing and taking care of themselves. They have no armies. They're unprotected. Well, this is just what these thieves are hunting. And here's people, other people that are building great armies. Not just one, though. If there was only one great army, they could have taken over everything. The problem is there was other people that was doing the same lustful thinking. And of course, when it got to a certain point, then the big armies would fight the other big armies. And thousands of people died by the edge of the sword. And this is going on while the population of Abraham's children, being somewhat protected in Egypt, kept multiplying without war. And the only ones that's fighting with each other was each other. And Moshe was trying to stop that. He was trying to stop them from fighting each other and fighting the Egyptians too. But they grew and they multiplied, and they didn't have wars and fighting for that 400 years, so they really multiplied. So when they came out of the land of Egypt, they were ready for war. And Yahweh had them ready for war, but first, Yahweh says, no, I want to train you first in my laws. So that's where we kind of got up to a while ago, last week in the sermon, that Yahweh brought Moshe out first. He brought him out. He was ready to take the children of Israel out right then and take them out and repossess this nation where Abraham came from. And we were laughing this morning about, you know, where Abraham and Sarah were buried because of the fact that nobody knows. And some things, you know, Yahweh chose to keep secret. And when they say the only trustworthy evidence that we have here comes from the Holy Scriptures, that just, I praise Yahweh for that, you know. Now, because later on they'll find some archaeology, you know, that backs up what Yahweh said. So, but the fact is, I want you to trust the Scriptures. Yahweh wants you to trust His prophecy, because He gives it all to us here in the history and the prophecies here. He tells you His plan, and this is all backed up with evidence, and eyewitnesses wrote it for us. That's the reason I say, no, Moshe didn't write all of Genesis. He may have written some of it, but Moshe didn't write it all. Abel and Adam even had some doing in writing Genesis, because he named the animals. Now, Yahweh doesn't give us all the animals' names that Adam named, but as Yahweh created them, Adam named them. And of course, Moshe didn't witness Abel dying, but others did. And Yahweh used the ones as witnesses that wrote the history as it took place. Well, that's what the scripture says. It says, eyewitnesses wrote this. So in this way, we know that historians are liars, but Yahweh is not a liar. He tells the truth. As the scripture says, let it be known that all are liars, but let it be known also that Yahweh does not tell lies in this through His prophets. Well, of course, these kings now. Back to these kings. When Moshe came out of Egypt, He didn't come into a very popular place. In fact, he came to places where nobody even wanted these people. And in fact, even later, when after Israel had grown, of course, most of the 11 of the 12 tribes, left Israel and went out and took over the colonies and of course built nations. They became a multitude of nations. How do I know that? The same way you better know it, as the scripture says, that's exactly what took place. And they went out and they took the people over that was there. And of course, they took them in. They grew with them. They even worshiped their gods, many of them. And because the ones that left, they weren't really studying Yahweh anyway. They were studying lust and whatever their bodies led them to go after. The same thing it is today. But Moshe, he was brought back to the place where Abraham had been. And at that time is called the land of Midian. And of course, a priest there had some daughters. And Moshe married some of the daughters, one of the daughters at the time, and then had some children. And there started a growth again. But let's get back and get Yahweh into this thing and see it in detail. But let me see just one more thing here. Remember the plan. Let's go there again in Yochanan 1, because he says here, as he says in many other places, nothing is going to take place unless it's part of his plan, and he's already foretold it by the prophets. He foretells his plan by the prophets. He did. He foretold it by the prophets. And this is shown here in Yochanan 1, in the beginning was the plan. Well, that's in Genesis. In the Genesis was the plan. And you can see it plainly written in Genesis, the plan of Yahweh. And the plan was with Yahweh, and the plan was Yahweh's. The same was in the Genesis with Yahweh. All things were done. Now, the King James Version says made, and right away that throws you off, because you can't quite trust a man in any of this, because they put the word made like you made a car, or you made a mound out of some dirt you piled up. But that's not what it's speaking of, and every authority says the word there means done. Everything that was done, this is talking about actions taking place, character being built, and so forth, and everything, and evil character being built along with it, as he shows in the tree of righteousness and evil. So everything that was done, including this tree of righteousness and evil, was done because Yahweh had permitted it beforehand in his plan to prove mankind, the ones that's worthy and the ones that will not repent. It's just that simple. The ones that will repent, Yahweh says, he has life there to offer. He says, verse 3, all things were done according to it, and without it, nothing was done that was done. It's that simple, and you better believe it. And if you believe it, then you'll start seeing what I'm trying to show you, that Yahweh is just guiding this whole thing from the beginning, as he did with Moshe. Praise Yahweh. In this plan was also life. Yes, eternal life is offered to mankind according to the plan, not outside the plan. You can't go outside the plan and get eternal life. It's got to be within this plan. It's not anywhere else. Now that light, he says, verse 4, in this plan was life, and that life was the light of man. The light, he's telling you here, is the same thing that Psalms said, your laws are a light unto my feet, a lamp unto my path. And then another, blessed are those who follow his laws, because nothing shall offend them, and so forth. So the ones that love his laws or learn to love his laws. He says he promises them life and also authority, as is in verse 12. But look at verse 5. He says, now, according to his plan, that light shines in the darkness, but the darkness does not take hold of it. That was according to his plan. And that's what you see throughout the Holy Scriptures. Look on down to verse 9. He said, that was the true light which lights the way to the kingdom for every man that comes into the world. It was in the world, and the world was enlightened through it, but the world did not know him, that is Yahweh. The laws that Yahweh taught to Israel, they were scattered throughout the world. And many people, many millions of people, saw these, and they were enlightened by them, and they started churches and religious organizations. They were glad to get them, and they were teaching it. But of course, this was coming from the mixture. The only place you could find the true way to life was by following the prophecies and the instruction in Yahweh's laws to find it, and then you would find that way of perfection in Yahweh's laws that, as you see next here in verse 12, was Yahshua setting the perfect example in Israel and in and around Jerusalem even, and of course in Galilee, where he was teaching his apostles who wrote these books for us, wrote the books for us. Now, now you're on this right here. He said, but as many as received him, to those he gave authority to become the sons of Yahweh. And to those who believe the testimony of Yahweh, notice, have authority. You have authority to become sons. Well, you become a son of Yahweh. That gives you the inherited promise that Yahshua himself took of. And I know one of the letters, and maybe you're mixed up in this, I don't know. I explain things. I don't explain everything as I go, but sometimes people will say, well, what about this? And I don't mind explaining it. But you must go to the place that Yahweh chooses out of one of the tribes. And there they will have a priest that will teach you. Well, where was my priest? There's another law that says in the last days, this one is based upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, with Yahshua being our high priest, the chief cornerstone of this last day's work. You got it? Praise Yahweh. This was the promise and the plan from the beginning when he says, hitch your donkeys to this branch. Remember, in the beginning is the plan. In the Genesis is the plan. And nothing is done without following that plan. So Yahshua then became high priest. He had to become high priest. He had to sit at the right hand of Yahweh to do the work in these last days, hitching his donkeys to the branch, and then this work goes out to all the world as was prophesied to do. Well, that's just on the side. The main thing I want you to watch here is Yahweh guiding his plan. Who are begotten not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, just like Yahshua. Now, this was another thing that I haven't put exactly in writing, and one of the secretaries wrote me a note and said, but I thought that the seed of Abraham was us. And I said, yes, it is. So I wrote him a note explaining that the seed of Abraham comes from the teaching that Abraham, Yahweh says, I know he will teach my children. Well, Abraham had a big part in writing this prophecies and laws here in Genesis. And of course, what took place here and how he, and we'll see this, we'll see it in the history. We'll see how his descendants, whether they were of Isaac or not, his descendants were used in this work. But it was Isaac who the word of Yahweh was so strongly used down through to Yahshua's time, and that was actually made available to Yahshua's parents and the parents before Yahshua. And in fact, all those generations that came down, the ones that repented and came into this work, Yahweh called them, and Yahshua said, I want to tell you something. There was many widows out there in the times of Eliyahu, but he was only sent to one. And well, that was according to the plan for Isaac's seed to become the blessing, not made with hands, the cornerstone that came from Yahweh, inspiration through Abraham, who taught the truth. And if you are Abraham's seed, if you doing the works of Abraham that Abraham did, which is teaching Yahweh's every word, living by it and teaching it, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not Abraham's lineage. There's a lot of Abraham's lineage that are not Abraham's seed. And of course, the way the King James, the way we have to get the meaning from the words from the English versions, it doesn't mean exactly the same as it does in the Hebrew and in the Greek. Even the Greek. The Greek is closer to it than the English. But they change it too. But the Hebrew, this is one thing that I found that I admired about the great Yehuda, because he became very zealous for the Hebrew. And, of course, it makes you think, you know, Abraham the Hebrew. That's the way the Scripture describes Abraham. Abraham the Hebrew. Why? Why? How'd they know that? Well, if you study the scholars' work, they'll say, well, perhaps. That will become a real joke to you if you watch their work. And if you study their work thoroughly, you'll see these little things. Well, perhaps it was this, or maybe some people think it was that, but others think it was this and say that can't possibly be true. So they argue among themselves. But Abraham the Hebrew, we'll get to that, and I'll let David bring some on it too. But anyway, that's the thing, that the Hebrew language that Yahweh gave to Abraham. And then they tried to, later on, the scholars, they came in and said, well, we need some vowel points here to tell these people what we want them to know out of what this word said. Well, when they took the vowel points, they made them think that word meant something that it didn't mean. And this is where we get some of these screwed up translations that we're having to deal with in this time period. But I praise Yahweh, he's bringing it through, and it doesn't contradict any of his plan. Praise Yahweh. But he is he that is begotten, who are begotten, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but something that can change the flesh, change the mind and the heart. That's how you're begotten. With the laws of Yahweh, as Yahshua plainly says, these are the spirit and they are your life. And if you'll believe that, praise Yahweh. Not from the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of Yahweh. That's the teaching that came to Abraham. And if we follow that teaching, if Abraham is our teacher, or Yahweh is our teacher through Abraham, and we follow these laws as Abraham did. Now, if we try to kill somebody, Abraham didn't try to do this. Abraham didn't try to kill the Savior. And this is what the Savior said. Abraham would never have tried to kill me. Abraham would have loved me. I'm teaching the same thing that Abraham taught. But you're not teaching what Abraham taught, so you're not his seed. That is the seed that comes down from heaven. The laws of Yahweh that was given by Yahweh himself in the beginning through Moshe. Through Moshe. Now, that brings us back. Let's look one more here. Verse 17, for the law was given through Moshe, that the truth and the perfect example of the law should come through, be proven to you through Yahshua Messiah. Well, that brings us up to where we stopped now last week, and time's just about up, but we will go a little further here into this. But we got, let's be going over to, I think it's Exodus, back to Exodus, but Exodus, I think it's the second chapter. Well, Yahweh, out of Abraham, because Abraham kept my laws, my statutes, and my judgments, that's in Genesis. And of course, he taught his children. He taught all of his children. He didn't just teach Isaac alone. He taught the others too, as we're going to see here. But the law was given to Abel. We know that, and we know that Cain sinned, and all the world has gone the way of Cain. We know that. The Scripture says it. They've gone the way of Cain. They let hate develop in their minds and hearts, and they want to kill the one that's bringing the truth. And this is what Yahshua kept telling the Abraham's lineage. Why do you want to kill me? I'm the one that's bringing you the truth here. And they're saying, why don't you keep the tradition of the elders? That Talmud is what they're speaking of. It was already written at that time. It was written many years before that. What I was going to tell you a while ago, and this is very important, in this setup that Yahweh had for the original children of Israel, Abraham's lineage, his seed, through the 12 tribes. Now, it's not hard for anyone who knows what took place there to see how Yahweh built a tremendous army. The same thing took place then with the tribes themselves. And they chose a spot called Italy. And of course, Rome. In the Germans, something was very interesting there that I thought, because you could be a German without even being in Germany, without speaking the German language. Now, that was required most of the time to be a citizen, you know, that you be born in that country and that you, or you speak their language, follow their culture. But there was a characteristic that they said made anyone German or Germanic, as they call it, but you were a citizen of Germany and could collect, you know, on that citizenship, the benefits from it by being a Keton, I think it was named, a Keton, which was a culture of Mary. It was a religion of the worship of Mary. The same thing as today, you know, you can be a Catholic, no matter what nation you're in, if you worship Mary. And you can reap the benefits of the Catholic Church, which rules in the nations. You can reap the benefits by being a worshiper of Mary, the same thing that they had in Germany to be a German. Well, of course, we know that the Germans were Romans also, and of course they followed this thing. The kings that took Jerusalem by force. Yes, they were Israelites. They were of the seed of Abraham. They were of his lineage. And that's what Yahshua said. I know you're of the lineage of Abraham, but you're not his seed, and you won't inherit the promise. But this seed that was took over Israel, these kings, they were violent kings that took over the land of Israel and, of course, Jerusalem. They were not following the laws of Yahweh. They were all worshipers of Miri, as the prophet said. The prophet Yeremia said, your evil has caused Yahweh to turn his back upon you. And they said, well, what evil? He said, the celebration of Christmas. That's in chapter 10. Chapter 44, he shows the worship of the Easter goddess. There's been books written on this showing that this same worship was brought down to us today. It was in Germany then, but it was in Israel at that time. Now, they were keeping this a secret. They didn't openly teach it in the temple because of the fact that there were so many people that had the laws, that actually had the laws. And when in Josiah's time, when the great prophet Yeremiah was guiding him, this boy, well, he'd guided him for some 18 years, teaching him. There was others in that same organization that were protecting Yeremiah while he was doing this. And we have that too. We have, I want to read it. I got it here if I ever get to it. And I've got to get to it in 2010. I told you that. But they were guiding and protecting him in this kingdom because people were wanting to kill Yeremiah. But this king, when he made this proclamation, he said, you do this, you know. This meant there was a death penalty awaiting them if they didn't do it. And he said, get this God worship out of the temple. Get this Mary worship out of the temple. Well, it was already throughout that land at that time. Italy had become a congregation of settlements of all kinds, and they were building a huge army, probably because they saw the history of what a great army could do when it come into a nation, because Israel came in, took over the nation, the colonies, and everything. And up to the time of Solomon, they had everything. They ruled everything throughout. Well, at this time now, there were other huge armies building, and one of them was building in Italy. And that's the reason history says there's no such thing as an Italian. Well, there's no such thing as a German. The thing don't fit. There's no such thing as Japanese, a Japanese race. And I'm talking about race. There's no such word as race, except running a race in Hebrew or in Greek. It was put in to deceive you. That's the reason I say, you know, you need to get it out of you. I would like to take it out of the English dictionaries myself. It's a false word. As false as Christianity, but it represents Christianity. Well, here now, in remember that now, this huge army was building, and then finally Yahweh allowed from the tribes now. It was in the family. It was in the family. Yahshua had to be killed by all the congregations of Israel. That was the law concerning Yahshua. And that's exactly the way he died. By the congregations, not an outside race from Mars or someplace like that's what they want to pretend anyway. Sea people that came up from the bottom of the ocean. Well, here now in the second chapter of Exodus, chapter 2 and verse 15, we see when Pharaoh heard that Moshe had killed the Egyptian, he tried to kill Moshe. But Moshe fled from Pharaoh and went to the land of Midian, and sat down by a well. Now, all of this, of course, was just coincidental. It was just so happened that, you know, the lake was dried up in one place, so he crossed it, and the wind was blowing heavy on this side, so he went around on this side of the mountain, and eventually he came to this place here just by accident, of course, to the land of Midian. Well, if you look closely, and I'm going to guide you through this thing, you're going to see that Yahweh was guiding everything that took place here as he's guiding his house now. And everything that took place with me and the jails and the officials and so forth to try you, it was allowable in Yahweh's plan, and he told you beforehand what was going to take place. I told you beforehand what was going to take place. You didn't listen. You didn't believe me. Some still don't believe it. But it took place just like it's taking place here today with Moshe. Sit down by a well. Now, a priest of Midian had seven daughters. They came to the well, and let's see. Moshe fought other shepherds off, ran them off, and watered the flock. And then we see in verse 18, and they returned to Reuel, their father. Reuel, their father, and he asked them, "How is it that you have returned so soon today?" And they answered, "An Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds. Then he also drew water for us and watered our flock." So he asked the daughters, "And where is he? Why is it you have left the man? Invite him, that he may eat bread." It sounds like this guy knew Moshe and wondering why they didn't bring him. And he was concerned about this. And do you think he might have known something in advance here, this priest? Do you think he might have known something that was going to take place 400 years later? Think he might have known a prophecy? How did they know that Yahshua was going to be born when he was born? And why did wise men come hunting this man, wise men who knew the scriptures, why did they come hunting this baby? Why did this man know? Otherwise, he would have been probably very suspicious of anyone coming up and taking care of his daughters, or especially an Egyptian, right? Then Moshe agreed to stay with the man, and he gave Zipporah, his daughter, to Moshe in marriage. Gave Zipporah to, now this man is named Reuel, and you've got to understand all of this now. Now, Midian, in the land of Midian, a priest in the land of Midian, and this is, if you go back to Genesis again now, Genesis 25, 1 and 2, Genesis 25, 1 and 2, we see here Abraham took another wife. Genesis 25, verses 1 and 2, Abraham took another wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bore him Zimran, Yokshan, Medan, and Midian. She actually bore him six sons to Abraham. Abraham had six sons here other than Isaac now. Six sons. She bore him Midian. And verse 4 says, and the sons of Midian, he also had certain sons that all played a part. Every time Yahweh names someone, that means something is going to take place, and you'll find them later in history doing something that Yahweh had in mind to be done. Otherwise, he wouldn't have named them. But notice Midian is the son of Abraham. He's the son of Abraham. Now, get this. This is what history says. Midian is the fourth son of Abraham. You just read it. That's where it comes from. Now, Midianites, they say, is a race. I told you last week there's no such thing as race of people. Yahweh tells you exactly where they all came from, and he uses these and let Israel, after he brought them out of Egypt, after he got accomplished what he wanted to, he allowed them, of course, to intermingle with the other people that was outside of this family, that is, outside of the immediate lineage. And then they admit, there is no trustworthy accounts of Midian outside the Bible. None other. So this is it, what we're reading. They should have stuck with it to begin with, because you can find more in the Holy Scriptures than you can in archaeology. Okay, the next place. In the early life of Moshe, that was 215, after he killed this man, then he went to this priest, Midian. Midian, the priest of Midian, whose sheep he kept for 40 years. 40 years. I want you to keep what we just saw in mind and turn over to Acts now. Because one of the apostles, and this is what this work is based upon, if you remember, we are based upon the foundation of the prophets and apostles. Not just the prophets, but we are based upon the foundation of the prophets and apostles, with Yahshua being our chief cornerstone, that is our chief guide, chief example of the house of Yahweh work, our activities, our example that we follow in these last days. In Acts 7, he says, speaking of this same person here, Acts 7, verse 29, and at this saying, Moshe fled after the Egyptian wanted to kill him. He fled and became a sojourner in the land of Midian, where he begot two sons. And when 40 years had passed, 40 years, I came to Abilene in 1967, and shortly after that, I started putting out a prophetic word newsletter. And that was in 67, 2007 would have been 40 years. 2007, it's 2010 now, so it's 43 years that Yahweh has had me here teaching and training me and teaching me and you, praise Yahweh. I just thought it was strange that the 40 years passed, and this wasn't all of it. He went back to get Israel and then brought them back, and Yahweh taught them for another 40 years before Moshe died. But here now, and when 40 years had passed, a Moloch of Yahweh appeared. Now, if you remember in the lessons of Ruth and Boaz, look on down to verse 35. Boaz and Ruth, Rhea, if you remember the lessons that we covered there and how Moshe was actually taught and who taught him and so forth, you remember that I didn't elaborate on this at that time, but we brought out that Jethro was the teacher of Moshe. Well, what about Reuel? Well, we'll see here in just a moment. And this Moshe, whom they rejected, saying, "Who made you a ruler and a judge?" Is this one, he says, is the one Yahweh sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the priest Jethro, who appeared to him in the bush, in this burning bush. As you remember, we went through all of that, and this burning bush just so occurred was, of course, the house of Yahweh, the bush that don't burn up. They if you ever go to Israel and you get a guide, now they know what they know about this, and they know the Hebrew language, some of them, especially the scholars who have taught things like this. And of course they know the bush was the organization that Yahweh created, but they point out to the people and they laugh about it, you know, that's that burning bush over there. and as they're taking you on these tours. Look on down to verse 36. He brought them out after he had showed them wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moshe who said to the children of Israel, Yahweh, your father, will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. Him you will hear. Well, of course, that would have been according to the law. The law states it had to be of these tribes. Seek the place where I choose to place my name from one of these tribes in prophecy, and you'll find the house. This is he who was among the called out ones in the wilderness with the Moloch, who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our fathers, who received the doctrine of life to give to us. And the scriptures plainly show this was the one that we're calling Jethro or Yethro, who taught Moshe for 40 years. And Moshe, even after that, he encouraged him to go with him after he left the house there at that in that particular spot and headed for the land that they had to go and possess. And he did go with him for a short distance, and then he came back to the house of Yahweh, whom our fathers would not obey, but rejected him. So in their hearts, they turned back to Egypt. This was the people he brought out of Egypt at that time, fighting men who, of course, took the land and of Israel and took over the colonies and everything that was there. But they still were not converted. In their hearts, they brought what they were worshiping in Egypt back into the land that was promised to Moshe. And this is what it's speaking of right here. That was verse 39. Look at verse 42. Then Yahweh turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven. That's what they were worshiping in Egypt. This was Mary, Easter, the Queen of Heaven, also Christmas, and so forth, that the prophets were sent to warn them of and saying, you're not worshiping Yahweh. This stuff that you're worshiping here is not of Yahweh. It's vanity. It has nothing to do with salvation. Then Yahweh turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, just as it is written in the book of the prophets. Was it to me you brought sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years? O house of Israel, if you remember, Jeremiah asked them the same question. Was it really to me you brought these sacrifices? No. The high places you built on every hill and so forth? No, but you have lifted up the adulterous temple of Molech, your god, and Chun, your star god, Saturn, the star of your god, El, which you made for yourselves, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon, he says. I'll carry you away. Well, of course, now the armies, if you remember, the armies that were building, they would come to Israel, and they would take certain people. And the ones they found worthy, the ones that seemed worthy for them to take, and they would take them back to their location, which was Babylon. They would teach them there for a certain length of time. They would move the ones they wanted to use in their army to Rome. This is how the Roman soldiers got built up into such a great army, was in just this manner. And the ones that they deemed unworthy, the poorest of the people, they said, whom they deemed unworthy to take to Babylon and make higher class citizens out of them, they left them in Israel. You know who those were? They were the Okies living in Galilee. They were Yahweh's people that was bringing forth the Savior. But this is what the scripture says. This is exactly what the scripture said. So in the land of Midian, son of Abraham, Genesis 25:2, was Jethro, the priest of the house of Yahweh, who taught, let's go back there to Genesis, who taught Moshe for 40 years. When he came back, his sons were priests. Moshe's son was priest when he came back from Egypt with the tribes of Israel. But here now, Midian, the fourth named of the six sons of Abraham by Keturah, 25 and verse 2, beyond the fact of his having four sons, nothing is recorded concerning him. Nothing else is recorded concerning Midian. So who is Midian? Well, my time is up again. And boy, do you have a great surprise coming next week. Be sure and be here, cold or hot, be here. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you!